This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 3rd, 2013. I'm Caleb Brown. We should be very clear, when the president asks Congress to vote on whether or not to strike Syria, he's not asking for constitutional authority to attack. John Samples, director of the Cato Institute Center for Representative Government, says, however, a debate in Congress is exactly what's needed.
Well, there is this tortured history of the last 20 years of both Congress approving wars and presidents using force in small wars when they wanted to. In the approval process, in at least one, and it was strongly suggested, I guess, in Iraq and Afghanistan, the two President Bushes suggested that they had the authority to make the war anyway, but they were coming to Congress to get the approval. What's strange about this, I guess, in the last 20 years is that Obama foresees, and most people foresee, a very limited engagement or limited use of force of another small war, and he's treating it like it was a major war where Americans were expected to be killed. I thought at first that he would probably use the Clintonian consultation out. Well, Clinton, when he was in political trouble in the 1990s, about the time in 1998 in particular, because of the problems of that year, did consult with the Senate in a certain way, and you know he had to politically. President Obama's had a pretty bad year politically, and I think that's part of the story here. He's just not getting over on this issue, and he's trying to shift responsibility. And as a result of all those things, he seems to be stumbling toward the constitutional use of force, or at least asking for it.
So, I mean, it seems clear that he wants political cover. That is, he wants Republicans who may be inclined to support some use of force to be exposed should it go badly. But to the extent that he is asking for a vote, should we complain about that?
No, we shouldn't. I don't think so. I mean, I was thinking over the weekend that it's, you know, frankly, I've always argued for this and for the Article I declarations of war or some sort of approval for war. So at this point, however he got there, and I'll even think that maybe just a little bit of the man from 2008 and earlier who seemed to be a strong critic of executive power and the use of that power in war and a defender of the Constitution, I'll even believe that he exists still somewhere in President Obama despite Libya and so on. I mean, it is odd that the man that really I thought had destroyed completely and utterly the War Powers Resolution is now turned around completely and looks like he's going to ask Congress. Now, the question is, you know, the other side of this equation has always been that Congress has been pretty lousy itself on these issues, unwilling to take responsibility, happy to criticize when things go wrong, happy to try to get on the bandwagon when things go right. So Congress is not living up to the founders' hopes and expectations either. We'll see this time if they will. We should have a real debate here.
Is there anything in Madison's conception of the war power that envisions essentially people, when something is unpopular, trying to delegate back to another branch?
Well, yeah, that is odd in itself, and it is kind of like a hot potato that, you know, in their heart of hearts, maybe most Republicans and most Democrats, quite apart from the partisanship even, would rather that he just go ahead and do it and then see what happens. And, you know, they don't want to be blamed. It's not going to be a big winner one way or the other because it's clearly a problem. This is after all of these everything that's happened in the Middle East in the last 15 years or so, we're finally reaching an end where the exhaustion and dismay and everything that goes with it is finally, once again, producing a constitutional outcome whether or not we go to war.
This push of President Obama back to Congress, essentially punting back to Congress for them to engage in their constitutionally authorized duty to decide whether or not to go to war, has opened up a debate within the Republican Party where you have your standard Lindsey Graham, John McCain's on one side and your Rand Paul and others within the Republican Party. It seems like this is actually a great opportunity for the Republican Party to define itself in a much more reasonable way on war.
That's correct. A reasonable way, prudent way, constitutional way, the things that one might have thought the Republican Party stood for long in the past. No, this is fascinating. I mean, I, as late as 2011, in talking to Republican members of Congress, I was stunned by how deep the idea of both executive power and military solutions to all kinds of foreign policy problems, how deep those conceptions had gotten into Republican members, even people that were reasonable and limited government people on other points. It just seemed as if George Bush and that that 8 years had transformed the GOP completely, that it was just no one was there that thought that Congress should seek should have say over war, and indeed that war wasn't the solution to most things in foreign policy. Now we see we have a real live presidential candidate who is getting ground, gathering ground on this. We have senators of the quality of Mike Lee and representatives, fast-rising representatives like Justin Amash, actually taking the lead on this to raise questions and to defend congressional prerogative and indeed to defend the Constitution. It's a 2016 issue. It's going to be on the agenda in the 2016 nominating process. This is amazing. It's very good. If you believe in debate, dialogue, and you believe that actually the Article 1, Section 8 has some meaning, it's a great thing.
John Samples is director of the Cato Institute's Center for Representative Government. You can read more of his work at cato.org.